For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
And good morning to you, however, or whomever you are. How you doing? It's Sunday morning, July 24th, 2016. It's live. It's shortly after 11 a.m., a few seconds after 11 a.m. BST. And I'm in great form, in fine fettle, in a warm and muggy old Manchester. Now, the programme is brought to you in association with davidicke.com/headlines. No harm for you to have that page open while you're listening to the programme. I'm sure many of the things that I talk about here today will, of course, be covered in great depth on davidicke.com. That's davidicke.com/headlines. Another triumph for my great friend yesterday in Brisbane, Australia. The World Wide Wake Up Tour stopped in Brisbane yesterday. Another packed venue. Heard David Icke talk for 12 hours about what's gone on, what's going on, and what's to come. Incredible. He's having the time of his life, I think, down there. I get an email from him every couple of days. I heard from him on Friday night, just ahead of Saturday, and he was really looking forward to it, was David. And I do notice, I always follow these things on social media, and whenever David is doing one of these events, it's really interesting to see all the incredible photographs and pictures and comments and reviews of these events, and it's been terrific. The next date on the tour is next Saturday in Melbourne. Go to the worldwidewakeup.com even, and davidicke.com to find out more about it. That's next Saturday in Melbourne, Australia. You might even see David on an episode of Neighbours. Melbourne, Australia. You know, you don't know very much about a place when that's the best you can do, eh? We might see him on Neighbours as an old friend of Harold Bishop's or something like that anyway. Yeah, so it's all going incredibly well. Why wouldn't it? And if you are in Melbourne listening to this programme, we do have a lot of listeners in Australia. I'm going to tell you more about that in a second. Do go and see David next week. Really interesting email came in today from Ben Johns, who is in Australia. Well, he doesn't say exactly where he is in Australia, Ben, but he might let me know more about that. But anyway, he sent me this email with a lovely picture, and the email goes as follows. Good morning, Richie. I do a lot of work for Newcastle Dog Rescue, which is a reputable organisation in Australia. Anyway, I did a long country run to get 16 dogs out of a high kill pound yesterday. And when I got there, I couldn't resist adding one more who was due, but not safe yet. This little guy didn't have a name, so he has been respectfully named Richie after yours truly. He is a 7-month-old wolfhound cross and is a lovely dog who will make his eventual adopters very happy indeed. Best wishes from Ben. Ben, that's a lovely story, and I love the fact that you rescue dogs whom are going to be put down and find adoptive homes for them. I'm especially thrilled by that because our Jazz, our 8.5-year-old German Shepherd cross, was of course rescued from a rescue centre in Estepona in Spain when we lived there. We would never buy a dog, the future Mrs. Allen and I. We love dogs and we will always have one as long as we are, well, I suppose as long as we are alive, but we will always get our dogs from the pound. I think that's wonderful. Thanks so much, mate. It kind of made me a little bit emotional reading that a bit earlier on. I really appreciate that. Sunday View is live on fabradiointernational.com. And of course, you can tweet me at any time. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. And my email address is richie@richieallen.co.uk. It's an interactive programme. So whatever you tweet to me, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, I will read those tweets out. Good morning, Ronan. Good morning, Faisal. Good morning to everybody who's listening to the programme. Apparently there was an issue earlier on with the TuneIn app and the TuneIn stream for the programme, but it seems to be all working fine now. Remember, you can hear the programme on richieallen.co.uk, on davidicke.com, on Fab Radio. In the week, you can hear it on alternatecurrentradio.com. But one of the great things about the programme is that it's also on the Truth Seeker app, which is a brilliant app. You can download the Truth Seeker app to your phone or tablet for free. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no advertising at all. And anytime InfoWars or James Corbett or myself and many other producers, anytime they upload something, you get it automatically. So that's the Truth Seeker app if you have a smartphone. I know what smartphones are. But the Truth Seeker app is brilliant. And Paul, who looks after all of that, is a great guy. And I'm delighted to be a part of that. Good morning to my great friend Jean-Anne Crowley in Cleggan, or she's in Dublin, one or the other. And looking forward to seeing Jean-Anne in a few weeks' time. She'll be here for a couple of days. Going to see The Who. Yeah, at Manchester Arena. Can't wait for that. And so the summer is here. Right, I'm going to shut up because I'm always complaining about this programme running over time on Sundays. But I'm rabbiting away about absolute nothing. So I'm going to crack on then. Remember, davidicke.com/headlines. This is where I have a quick look at the front pages of the Sunday broadsheets and tabloids in Blighty. The Sunday Observer. Munich killer was bullied loner who had an obsession with mass murder. This is the text. The supporting text. The German 18-year-old who killed 9 people at a Munich shopping centre on Friday was obsessed with mass killings, owned a book on US school shootings, and played computer shooting games. Most of his victims were fellow teenagers, 5 of them under 16. The loss of so many young people added to the depths of mourning in Germany, where people are struggling to understand how a shy student managed to acquire a gun and bullets and then turns them on his peers in cold blood. Now, he's been named as Ali Sonbali. He was the son of Iranian refugees who came to Germany in the 90s. The neighbour said, listen carefully, he was shy, he was withdrawn and showed no signs of the violence that had apparently preoccupied him long before Friday night. Shy, withdrawn, quiet, nice kid, no signs of the violence, eh? A police search of the gunman's family home, part of a social housing block in the prosperous Max Vorstadt district even, found newspaper clippings and books related to mass murders. Among them, one called Why Kids Kill Inside the Minds of School Shooters. Now, Munich's police chief even Hubertus André said that Sonbali also seems to have been interested in Anders Breivik. Remember him? Who allegedly killed 77 people in a killing spree across Oslo and the island camp. The shooting, of course, on Friday was the 5th anniversary of the Norwegian slaughter. One of the other interesting things about this is one of the boy's classmates told Germany's Bild newspaper that the shooter used Breivik's face as his profile picture on the WhatsApp messaging service. The Sunday Telegraph, front page headline, Facebook trap of the McDonald's murderer. The Telegraph says the teenager who shot and killed 9 people in the massacre used Facebook to lure his victims to McDonald's. Ali David Sonbali, 18, launched his killing spree in the Bavarian city, apparently in revenge for being bullied. It's now thought he targeted youngsters of Turkish and Arab origin, having claimed those groups had picked on him in school. Sonbali, who killed himself at the end of the attack, set up a fake Facebook account using the identity of a pretty teenage girl named Selina Akim. Selina Akim. Posting using the moniker Selina Akim or the profile Selina Akim, Sonbali apparently said, come today at 4 o'clock to McDonald's at the OEZ shopping centre. I'm giving away anything you want, so long as it's not too expensive. Yeah. The Star on Sunday. Headline, killer lured kids with Big Macs. Yeah. That's what happened. And the Sunday Express says something different here. We're going to come back to the shooting in Munich, don't worry. Sunday Express front page headline, EU will give us what we want, says Boris Johnson, the UK Foreign Secretary. The text says, the Foreign Secretary said he had detected a quite striking change of mood in European capitals as understanding starts to break in and around what people see That's terrible, that. I've copied and pasted that from The Express. Is that how that reads? The Foreign Secretary said he detected a quite striking change of mood in European capitals as understanding starts to break in. Ah, and people see what this is all about. Johnson insisted a deal could be done combining the benefits of free trade with a curtailing of migration. Johnson said, and I quote, "I have absolutely no doubt that balance can be struck, and over the next few weeks we'll be discussing that in the government and with our European friends." "Be in no doubt," said Johnson. "This is something where everybody wishes to make fast progress in the economic interests of both Britain and the EU. There is a deal there to be done. The faster we can get onto it and do it, the better," said Boris Johnson. It's a month, by the way, exactly a month since Britain voted to leave the European Union. The Mail on Sunday, front page headline, Jeremy Corbyn. "How low can he go?" asks the Mail. And the headline says, "Corbyn in slave labour t-shirt scandal where poverty-stricken workers are paid a pitiful 30 pence an hour to make £10 t-shirts that fund his leadership campaign. The machinists in Bangladesh toil for 10 hours a day to make the t-shirts, which are believed to have raised thousands of pounds for the Labour leaders' fighting fund. Corbyn himself has previously attacked the pay and working conditions faced by clothes labourers in Bangladesh. Corbyn has asked consumers to think twice about where you buy your products. Yet the Mail on Sunday has discovered that Momentum, which is the left-wing organisation central to Corbyn's campaign, has bought hundreds of the t-shirts, some emblazoned with Corbyn's name in superhero-style lettering, to sell in England for £10 each. This is a kind of a nothing story, this. Yes, nobody should buy t-shirts from any company when you find out that those t-shirts were made using slave labour. But how can they link Corbyn to this? Do they really believe that Jeremy Corbyn had anything to do with those t-shirts being made? It's incredible, really, isn't it? That sort of bollocks. And of course, the Mail knows that. And the author of the article knows that. The editor knows that, whoever he or she is. Absolute nonsense, that story there. Of course, the t-shirts shouldn't be sold here if they're made where people are getting 30 pence an hour to make them in sweatshops, of course. But how can they link Corbyn to it? Madness. Also, overnight, and this is getting a lot of play today, a former Labour shadow cabinet minister has accused an aide to Corbyn of entering her parliamentary office without permission. Now, the woman is Seema Malhotra. She has formally complained to the common speaker, John Bercow, saying the privacy, security and confidentiality of her office had been violated. She also said her staff were harassed, intimidated and felt insecure. Now, Corbyn's spokesman said an aide had been checking when the office would be vacated and denied intimidation. You see, this woman resigned as shadow chief secretary to the Treasury over Corbyn's leadership style. She's now backing leadership challenger Owen Smith. She's saying she was being bullied. Corbyn's people say, well, no, not really. We're just coming around to say, when are you leaving the office that you shouldn't have anymore because you're no longer the shadow chief secretary to the Treasury? So she's gone and made a formal complaint. John McDonnell was on the Andrew Marr show this morning. I didn't record it, but he said this is much ado about nothing. And this is more about disgruntled MPs trying to make more and more of these bullying intimidation stories. That's what John McDonnell said earlier on anyway. But Owen Smith, who's Corbyn's opponent in the leadership election, well, he's been saying that this is very serious and there is a culture of bullying and intimidation. And he brings up anti-Semitism again. This is Owen Smith.
Well, I think Jeremy should take a little more responsibility for what's going on in the Labour Party. After all, we didn't have this sort of abuse and intolerance, misogyny, anti-Semitism in the Labour Party before Jeremy Corbyn became the leader. It's now become something that is being talked about on television, on radio, in our newspapers. And Angela is right. It has been effectively licensed in the last 9 months. We're the Labour Party. We've got to be about fairness and tolerance and equality. It's in our DNA. So for us to be reduced to this infighting, is awful. Now, I understand why people feel passionately about the future of our party. I feel passionately about that. I feel we're in danger of splitting and being destroyed.
Owen Smith, I'm just going to take up the anti-Semitism things there. Didn't the Labour Party employ the impartial Shami Chakrabarty to look into allegations that there was a culture of anti-Semitism and racism in the party? And didn't Shami Chakrabarty publish a report a couple of weeks ago that said there wasn't an endemic culture at all of anti-Semitism? Is that one or two MPs, one or two activists, and one or two councillors had said things maybe that were, well, maybe borderline offensive, but otherwise there wasn't really any anti-Semitism. So why is Owen Smith doing that today? Well, you can guess, I suppose, yourself. Let me remind you about Owen Smith, who's going to challenge Jeremy Corbyn. He supported the invasion of Iraq, even though he wasn't an MP. His previous interviews confirmed that he has basically a pro-interventionist stance when it comes to intervening in countries. He abstained on the Tory welfare cap. He supported the benefits cap. He supports renewing Trident, that lunatic Trident nuclear missile programme. He supported NHS private finance initiatives and private sector involvement in the NHS, and he used to work as a lobbyist for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. This is Owen Smith, by the way, who calls himself a radical. Good man. Not very radical. When he mentioned Angela there in that little soundbite, he was referring, of course, to Angela Eagle, who pulled out of the race and made accusations of bullying. Bullying, bullying, bullying. So this is where I get all conspiratorial, and this is where you get cheesed off with me and you say, oh, Richie, you're always picking on Jeremy. But I'm not going to do that. I meant what I said the other day. I'm not going to say any more about it. But I wonder, is all of this infighting, is it a big psyop on socialists and trade unionists in the United Kingdom? Why do you say that, you might ask? Well, because Corbyn is going to win the leadership election. He's going to win it by a landslide. We know this. The membership favour him. So by demonising Corbyn, you have this campaign in the tabloid newspapers constantly criticising him and who he is and his leadership skills and bullying and all of that. By doing that, you get people to rally to him more and more. And then when he does win, they have their saviour. They identify with him more than ever as real opposition to the system, even though he isn't. Do you get what I'm saying there? This looks like an absolutely mega and a very successful psyop operation on the poor, on the downtrodden, on the sick, on the disabled. Make this guy look like he's been targeted by everybody. Then people will rally to him, they will vote him in, and there you are. That's what I think anyway. That's genuinely what I think. You know, life goes on then, he's the leader of the Labour Party, and they get a spanking in the general election of 2020 or even next year or the year after. That's as bad as the spanking Margaret Thatcher handed even to Michael Foot. That's what I believe. But anyway, it's 18 minutes past the hour. Here's a very quick break. Do not go anywhere. When I come back, reading your tweets, and we're going to talk about the shooting in Munich on Friday. Yes, don't miss that.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. LivingAsYourSoul.com, making the profound practical.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
And it's 20 minutes past the hour. Keep those tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. And Tennis says, Townsend said he paid for online child abuse. What's this all about? Townsend said he paid for online child abuse so he could understand his own childhood abuse for his... Pete Townsend you're talking about. Of course, Pete Townsend said he paid for online child abuse so he could understand his own childhood abuse for his biography. I'm not sure that's exactly the way that went. It's a bit more complicated than that. But that's an interesting one. Nikki tweets, morning, Richie, I'm with you on Corbyn, except I think he will win, maybe force a general election then, if Labour get in, no Brexit. Nikki, all right, you think they might win. Labour might win the next election. Yeah, why not? For Brexit, you're saying. I don't think so. I think we disagree on that. But who knows, ultimately, you might be right. I'm not sure about that. Mark Richards tweets, Trump and his friends has friends in Israel, and I'm going to get all terrorist card in the crowd saying Americans love the Jews on YouTube. I don't get that. If you're going to tweet me, folks, make them readable, please. Construct a sentence that I can actually read. It's a Sunday morning, Mark. Help me out here. I know you've only got 144 characters, and it is difficult, but do help me out. Retweet that again, my friend, and I will make your point for you. Karen tweets, listening to Corbyn's speech yesterday, I couldn't help thinking, promise the world deliver nothing, just my opinion. Sue tweets, so is it in Owen Smith's DNA to kill millions of innocent men, women and children? Yes. Smith has said several times that he understood the intervention in Iraq, and he is an interventionist, is this guy. He is an interventionist. Faisal tweets, good of a point there, Richie. What about the spanking handed to Miliband with the most unpopular Tory party ever, though? Hubertus tweets, Richie, is it the final? It is the final nail in the coffin of socialism. It's all deliberate and planned. The sheep are off to the abattoir, tweets Hubertus. Sue came back on to say Labour was assassinated by Tony Blair, full stop. Right, let's move on. The Munich shooting then. We're being told today that the teenager, Ali David or David Sonbully, 18 years old, the teenager who shot and killed 9 people in the Munich massacre, used Facebook to lure his victims to a McDonald's. This is what we were told last night. He launched a killing spree in the Bavarian city, apparently in revenge for being bullied. It's now thought he targeted youngsters of Turkish and Arab origin, having claimed those groups had picked on him in school. He killed himself at the end of the attack, apparently, and we heard earlier that he set up a fake Facebook account using even the identity of a pretty teenage girl. Now, this is the BBC reporting on him. This is the BBC take on him yesterday. Listen carefully.
The police were suggesting that they're looking very much in terms of this documentation, the books, the newspaper articles they found describing mass shootings. It seems, according to the police, that this young man was obsessed with mass shootings. He had one article, they said, which was called Why Do Students Kill? He had this 9mm Glock pistol, which had the serial number illegally removed. And at the moment, they appear to be saying that their investigations are going in this line. And they also mentioned, quite interesting, that this man may have suffered from some sort of mental illness of some type, some sort of depressive mental illness, one of the police suggested, but that is still being established at the moment. But they have also said that his victims included a number of teenagers.
Yeah, loner, depression, psychological problems, killed himself. Police found all the evidence they needed in his bedroom, including articles showing that he'd researched mass killings. That is a little bit convenient, that, isn't it? Eh? It's a little bit convenient. And we've heard it before. Loner, depression, ill, not well. Killed himself at the end of it. Then the police found everything they need. Remember earlier on, the broadsheet newspapers today have said, and quoted his neighbour, saying he was a quiet kid, unassuming, nice kid, no signs whatsoever of the violence that was going to unfold on Friday. Right, so I watched some of this on Friday evening just to see what was being said. This is Sky News. Around 20 minutes after the shooting began, this is Sky News, right? 20 minutes after it all began, listen carefully.
Exactly do we know so far? Well, authorities are still evacuating people from that shopping centre in Munich, where police have said they expect numerous dead and injured. Police are also saying they believe there are three shooters involved and no one has as yet been taken into custody. There are reports of a simultaneous attack at the Stakers metro station near Marienplatz.
Now, Marienplatz, I know it well. I know Munich very well. Right, so you can say, and it is not illogical to say, that when there's a lot of confusion, when there's a lot of noise, a lot of panic, a lot of terror, that things can, well, facts can come out or statements can come out that turn out later on not to be true. So some of our listeners will say, it's easy to understand why they get the three shooters thing wrong. It's not easy to understand. I'm going to explain it just again. This is what Sky said again.
Police are also saying they believe there are three shooters involved and no one has as yet been taken into custody.
So the police said there are three shooters involved. The police said this. They put a statement out saying that. Could there have been shootings happening elsewhere? Drills, possibly. Drills, maybe a multiple, said for me, Richie, a multiple location drill, maybe. One of them then goes live. Is that a possibility, maybe? CNN in Germany, a reporter working for them, said there were multiple shots fired at different locations.
In addition to that, rail, subway service and bus service is interrupted right now, so public transportation staying away from these areas. And according to witness accounts that are coming in, and I believe you've been speaking to some of them as well, it's not just the shopping center, but also a McDonald's across the street where the shots were fired, in addition to that parking garage, that parking house near the mall, and also inside the mall as well.
So multiple, you heard that, didn't you, the end of that? Multiple locations, the parking house, inside the mall, outside, shootings all over the place. Now, this was confirmed by an eyewitness who spoke with CNN later on. Listen to the eyewitness.
All right, so I was just left my store because I was going to buy something real quick and left my coworker in the store. I was at this other store when suddenly shots were fired. I mean, we just heard the noise, we didn't identify it as shots at first. People were confused, and then I started running outside. So I just joined them, ran outside. I think there were more shots fired inside the mall at that point. I was outside just waiting for something to happen. People were screaming and running outside the building, clearing the building. Then I heard several shots from what I believe is to be the car house. Like, there's a parking house next to the mall, and I heard several shots fired there or from that direction. I went back inside the mall then because I wanted to check out on my coworker because she didn't answer the phone. So I went back inside.
Let me just jump in because it sounds to me, as you're describing the shots from within the mall, the shots from, you know, parking house, or we say parking garage, you know, we have actually now heard from witnesses reporting three different people with guns. So this isn't a single shooter situation. According to eyewitnesses, they're seeing three different people, which perhaps would explain how you're hearing these shots from multiple locations.
Number of witnesses. Now, it wasn't just CNN. It was across the mainstream media. Witnesses were saying, many of them were lucid and calm, saying that they saw gunmen at different locations, gunmen. So what happened then? What happened on Friday? The truth is, and I suppose many in the independent media, and there are other independent media shows right now, probably at the same time as me, talking about this. Unlike them, though, I'm not going to tell you what did happen. This is a big problem in the independent media. This absolute garbage, parodying, I suppose, for want of a better word, parroting and mimicking the mainstream media by telling you what happened without actually knowing what happened. This is what I think happened. But before I tell you that, I've got a book here. Bet you can guess what it is. This is Phantom Self by David Icke. I'm not going to read you all the book. It might take me about 6 months to get through. This is Phantom Self, David Icke, and this is a little segment, a little paragraph from the chapter Trans Phantomism. Are you listening to this now? Okay, where I marked it and everything, didn't I? I marked it. Hang on. Where are we? Where are we? Yes. Dr. Robert Beck, writes David Icke, an expert in nuclear engineering, co-authored a scientific research paper nearly 40 years ago with Dr. Michael A. Persinger of Laurentian University in Canada, an expert in extremely low-frequency radiation, which explored the potential for mind control through electromagnetic fields. Many levels of the human hologram and auric fields are electromagnetic in nature. Dr. Beck told a Psychotronics Association conference in 1979 that people exposed to certain electro... Dr. Beck told a Psychotronics Association conference in 1979 that people exposed to certain extremely low frequency field patterns experienced sensations of uneasiness, depression, and foreboding. Dr. Andrea Purich, an American medical and parapsychological researcher, showed some 60 years ago how the use of frequencies can manipulate mood and behavior. And obviously, the more powerfully this can be delivered, the bigger the effect. That's from the Perception Deception, David Icke. And we've had Barry Troer on this program before, a man who researched these weapons for the British Navy. So this is what I think happened. Can't prove it. It's what I think happened. So somewhere in the psychopathic, psychotic, truly evil, deepest recesses of the intelligence agencies, somebody decided to effect or put into effect another one of these mass trauma exercises to traumatise the people of Munich and the wider people of Germany. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to get a couple of agents, a couple of these black ops people, these truly evil fuckers. And they really are. I interviewed one of them in Spain years ago. A guy who used to, used to work as a contract killer. What they do is they get two or three of these guys to go to an area. The authorities know all about this. In terms of, when I say they know all about it, steps are taken elsewhere to make sure that there's a very slow response by the Munich police. So that's very easy to deal with that. You take steps to make sure there's going to be a very low police response. How do you do that? Well, of course, this would be unreported, but maybe there was a major fire. Maybe there was a major car crash. Maybe something else happened somewhere else in the city. These three guys go in then and decide to kill 9, 10, 11 people. That's the way it's done. The poor bastard who's been blamed for it all, the 18-year-old kid, Ali David Sonbully, well, he's been targeted by this extremely low-frequency mind control manipulation in the run-up to it. Maybe even 5, 6, maybe even 8, 9 months before that. It can go way back. Okay, they reported that he was depressed, that he was sick, that he was ill. They've not told us what medication he was on. Maybe he was taking antipsychotic medication, psychotropic medication even. They get this kid to visit the area. They kill the kid. They kill the people. They put the story out and off they go. Now, to a lot of people, at least in my social group, and to a lot of people in my wider family, that's just insane, crazy conspiracy theory. But that's because our sense of reality and our sense of what is possible has been manipulated, I think, as David has said so many times before on this programme and on others. We think it's logical that an 18-year-old kid, a quiet kid from a nice family, good-looking kid, decided to start reading books about mass shootings, followed Anders Breivik, the guy responsible allegedly for the Norway shootings, took an interest in killing people, managed to get a Glock 9mm weapon and bullets and using a fake profile on Facebook, lured people to the shopping centre and then just started killing him. Isn't it ironic? Our friends, our family, our neighbours see nothing wrong with that scenario. But my suggestion, my scenario, well, that's absolutely ludicrous, that. Madness, Richie. Madness. And what it comes down to is, it's a refusal to believe that the apparatuses of the state could cause harm, I suppose, to you and to me. People don't want to believe it. They don't want to look into the abyss and see that this is possible. Incredible. More trauma, mass trauma, on an uninformed civilian population. Most of these people, most of the people in the world, have not been exposed to David Icke or Jordan Maxwell or Jim Mars. They might have heard of these three men, but they've no idea who they are. Annie Machon, David Shaler. Might have heard their names mentioned in passing, but don't know who they are. So middle-income people, high-income people, people with 2.1 children, they don't understand what's going on. So they demand that something is done about it. The police, the governments, they've got the solution. More security, more surveillance, more George Orwell. But it was very good to hear Charles Shoebridge, a security expert and a former British Army officer. Charles Shoebridge said to RT yesterday he doesn't think, fair play to him, that added security is always such a good idea.
This is a shopping centre. People want to encourage footfall, people going into these shopping centres. And again, something that might deter that, the free movement of people would be overburdening security, for example, security checks at shopping centre entrances. And of course, in the West, in most countries, we're not used to having metal detector checks and so on at the entrances to shopping centres. And indeed, even if you did have, as recent attacks have shown, for example, the attacks at Turkey's Istanbul airport very recently, that even though there are security checkpoints, you simply displace the attack onto the queues waiting at those checkpoints. We may have to look again at the whole issues of policy and how that's impacted upon the situation we're in respect of foreign policy, the destabilisation of countries such as Syria, Iraq, Libya, from which much of this terrorism has either emanated or been incubated. But that's perhaps a discussion for further down the line when we know more about this attacker.
Good man, Charles Shoebridge, good man. Somebody buy that man a banana or a cigar or both. Destabilising countries like Syria, like Iraq. Maybe we have to change our policy, said British Army officer and security analyst Charles Shoebridge. Holy Jesus. Wow. Why didn't we think of that one before? I'm going to read a few tweets. So that's what I think. I if anybody thinks I'm way off the mark, by the way, tweet me and I will tell you. No, I won't tell you. And I will read your tweet. I'm not going to tell you the way things are going. That's how I feel about it. Briefly, to repeat what I said, a team of shooters go in there, kill people. This kid has been tampered with prior to it, using extremely low frequency manipulation, as described in Phantom Self by David Icke and by Barry Troer. The kid is made ill. He might receive antipsychotic or psychotropic, whatever you want to call it, medication. He's lured there and he's blamed for it. Simple as that. Tweet me, by the way, at Richie Allen Show, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Let me just scroll down because I've missed lots of tweets. Kim Erswell tweets, whatever happens to Jeremy Corbyn, it's great fun watching the road crash, which is the Labour Party infighting again. David Stanford on Labour, it's all bullshit. People need to realise it's all a pile of. The system is corrupt. Why pay attention? Stevie G tweets on Munich. Good morning, Richie. Are all of these attacks part of the agenda to bring in World War III scenario and then usher in the new world order biometric chip? You're onto something, Steve. With regards to surveillance, you are absolutely onto something. But maybe we're getting these chips in our bodies anyway, Stevie. Without them, without our knowledge, we could talk geoengineering here, maybe. Danny Warden tweets, all these mass shootings are proof to me that the House of Cards is beginning to fall, says Danny. I hope you're right, Danny. Feathers Are Us on Twitter says, we just hate it when they bring mental health into it. It doesn't help the stigma that still exists with mental health. Yes, mate, I totally understand that as well. David says, there is no democracy. Handy, it's a Glock. Where is the loaner gun shop? My arse, says David. Good question. Where did he get the Glock? Ronan tweets, remember the armed man in the woods behind Sandy Hook? Yes, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Catherine tweets, there was a Muslim eyewitness who said she heard the shooter say, Allahu Akbar, says Catherine on Friday. Catherine, thanks for that. I didn't realise that. Catherine, I'm just going to retweet your tweet there because there is a YouTube video supporting that. I've just done that. Thank you very much. Love that. Fair Dinkum tweets, Richie, I was listening to RT during the attack and a terror expert was describing a different gait between two of the shooters. Now, a different gait as in G-A-I-T, a different type of walk. They were limbering up in a different way, says Fair Dinkum. Yes, yes. Multiple reports, not one or two. There were dozens of reports. Fire Hazard tweets, truth is other gunman got away, but the police won't admit to not capturing everyone involved, says Fire Hazard. I don't agree with that, but fair play to you, my friend. It's a theory. It's a theory, and it's as good as my theory. Patrick Garrett tweets, Richie, on the multi-shooter reports, is it possible that people saw plainclothes policemen, marksmen looking for the shooter? It is, Pat. It is, of course, possible, my friend. I'm not going to be dogmatic about my theory. It is, of course, possible. However, I don't believe that. I believe that people were murdered by agents of the state. And it's been blamed on this kid. David Cohn has said, I said at work Zika virus was harmless. Multiple people turned on me and said, do I live in the dark? I know I don't, says David. Massive amount of tweets coming in there. Mark Richards, thanks, Mark, for coming back to me. If Trump gets in the White House, him and Israel, Trump and the Israelis, are going to get all of the terrorists. I saw it on YouTube. It was at one of his rallies. Thanks, mate. That's what he's claiming. Yes, he is claiming that. Trump is saying that along with the Israeli government, we'll go after the terrorists. He's also saying, is the Donald, I'll get NATO to wipe out ISIS in Syria. What a madman. Yes, that's what we'll do. Send ground troops into Syria. Make a no-fly zone. Make Syria like Libya is now, uninhabitable and a completely failed state. Madness. Alan tweets, Richie, do you think it'll take Trump becoming president for most Americans to finally say is enough? Enough is enough and do something. Alan, I hope so. I hope people realise, mate, that the answer is not in parliamentary democracy. I really hope so. You know, I hope so. Moving down, there's so many tweets coming in. I'm scrolling back and down and back and down. Stevie tweets, as in global super surveillance, RFID of global citizenry. The Bible mentions this is going to happen, as in 666, the mark of the beast, IBM. Yes, Stevie, I've heard that before, and Jordan Maxwell has discussed that with me before, mate. It might very well be part of the Bible prophecy. It might very well be. Karen tweets, Sky News run a conversation between the so-called shooter where he said he was German and unemployed. Yes, and ultimately, my theory is a theory. I can't back it up. I can't prove it. But it's happened so many times before. Jean Ann, my friend, who I mentioned earlier on, asked me, did I cover the Pokemon chasing things this week? We did get into it a little bit on the programme last week. We are going to get into it on Wednesday's programme this week with Max Egan, who's talking a lot about that as well. It's exactly 18 minutes to the top of the hour. I want to move on now because there's a little bit more I want to get to before we close the programme. Keep the tweets coming in. Well, 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 Amber Rudd is the new Home Secretary. Prosecutors in England will be urged to seek tougher sentences for people committing hate crimes following a rise in incidents after the EU referendum. A £2.5 million fund will be set up for security measures at places of worship. This is on the BBC today. A police state, people. This is what's coming. Security measures at places of worship. Hate crime. Hate crime is the new thing. A rise in reported hate crime, says the BBC, has prompted concerns about a wave of xenophobic and racial abuse. This is all following the Brexit vote, says the BBC. The Home Office said its action plan aimed to boost reporting of offences and provide support for victims. Prosecutors will get fresh guidance on racially and religiously aggravated offences. They will also be encouraged to pursue tougher sentences by applying to courts to exercise existing powers to increase penalties for hate crimes. Figures released last week showed more than 6,000 hate crimes and incidents were reported to police in England, Wales and Northern Ireland after Brexit. The main type of offence reported was violence against the person, including harassment, common assault, verbal abuse, spitting and barging. People are getting barged, apparently, by racists. We like dot connecting, don't we? We like David Icke, so we like dot connecting. Isn't there a story running today about drivers stuck in Dover? God love them. This is not funny. I am a driver myself, and I have experienced queues before. Motorists are facing a second day of lengthy tailbacks through Kent because of delays in French border checks. There was one bloke yesterday checking at the port on the other side, was it? Was it on the other side? One French guy was checking. French border posts overnight. One guy was there. And tailbacks and queues have been 14 hours. This is all about Brexit. This is all about making the decision to leave the European Union look like a disastrous one. Making people angry. Same with this story about hate crimes. Hate crime. Hate crime is like saying thought crime. You know, punching somebody in the face is a crime. Spitting at somebody is a crime. Screaming abuse at somebody and threatening them and making them feel insecure is a crime anyway. Isn't it? At least it always was. You know, as far as I've ever known anyway. So Amber Rudd said, the Home Secretary, hatred directed against any community, race or religion has no place whatsoever in our diverse society and it needs to be kicked to the curb. At a time of increased concerns, she wrote, about a climate of hostility towards people who have come to live in our country. Let me be absolutely clear. They love this saying, don't they? They love this cliche. Let me be absolutely clear. It is completely unacceptable for people to suffer abuse because of their nationality, ethnic background or colour of their skin. We will not stand for it, says Amber Rudd. But of course, a lot of the discontent and a lot of the anger is not really about the colour of the skin or the ethnic background of the person. A lot of the anger is about the fact that you are dumping people in Britain, making a city the size of Peterborough every single year. Like David Icke says on the Worldwide Wake Up Tour, no pun intended, this is not a black and white issue. But in the media, there are no shades of grey. It's not about people hating people because of the way they look or because a woman has a hijab or because a guy is wearing a robe or he's got beads, prayer beads. It's not about that. It's about what it's doing to people's sense of security in their own country, which is what it's meant to do. Been arguing this bloody point over the last couple of weeks with Mike Rivero, with David Duke. I'm not comparing Michael Rivero to David Duke now. This is what they are doing. It's what they are doing. And now, the result of what they are doing is causing tension. So they say, right, we got to have powers against that. Got to have powers against that sort of unrest, abuse, more surveillance, more cameras, more powers of arrest. We will not stand for it, she says, Amber Rudd, the British Home Secretary. But will we stand for it, though? Being manipulated like this, how long before we say enough is a bloody enough? 12 and a half minutes to is the top of the hour. Very quick break. Back then, with Donald Trump, Mike Pence and Nigel Farage was interviewed by CNN News on Friday. And it was absolutely bloody fascinating. More on that in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. LivingAsYourSoul.com, making the profound practical.
Welcome back to the program. My friend Jean-Ann sent me a very interesting article about Amber Rudd, published today in the Sunday Mail. She's a direct descendant of King Charles II and his mistress, who was known for her foul temper, beauty and promiscuity. Rudd's link to Charles II makes her the 11th cousin to Samantha Cameron. We've told you this as well on the programme 100 times, about the interbreeding of these families. This is how it works. Got into it quite a bit on last week's Richie Allen shows. They're all available on YouTube and on Podomatic as well by now. Right, moving on then, because we're rapidly running out of time. Interesting week last week, stateside, of course. Donald Trump was officially confirmed as a Republican presidential nominee at the convention. He chose Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate. We told you all about Mike Pence. He is a mega, mega Rothschild Zionist. Mega. Stated his support for Israel at every possible opportunity. Said it has the right to attack Iran and its nuclear facilities if it wants to. He defended the actions of Israel in the Operation Protective Edge slaughter in 2014. And he's referred to Israel as America's most cherished ally. By the way, Mike Pence, Donald Trump's running mate, signed into law this year in Indiana a bill which would ban the state of Indiana from having any commercial dealings with a company that chose to boycott Israel. So if you're in Indiana, you chose to boycott Israel on your conscience, you can't compete for a contract with the state of Indiana. Madman. Mike Pence. Madman. Just like Trump. I know it sounds very simplistic, but they're just madmen. Carefully chosen by the system. Lunatics. Now, I caught Nigel Farage. He was in Cleveland, where the Republican convention was being held. Farage was on CNN's breakfast show debating NATO and debating the intentions of the Russian government with a woman called Christiane Amanpour. Now, she's the chief international correspondent of CNN, or for CNN. This is really interesting stuff. Have a listen to this. I mean,
the problem with NATO is this. You know, you're absolutely right. It was a wonderful vehicle to keep peace in Europe for 60, 70 years. But NATO now does need to redefine itself. What's it for? You know, we don't have the Warsaw Pact. So I'm pro-NATO, I'm pro-cooperation, but it's not a bad thing if we reassess what it's for.
Well, when you ask what it's for, what about what Russia's doing right now in Ukraine? Isn't that what it's for?
Well, hang on. NATO and the European Union openly said they wanted the Ukraine to join their alliances. Putin saw that as a direct threat. So in terms of strategy, in terms of enlargement, NATO needs to sit down and re-examine what it's for.
If I might be so bold, Nigel Farage is espousing a certain policy that Donald Trump agrees with as well, which is that it's... I do believe that you believe that there are spheres of interest, that Russia should have its way in its traditional sphere of interest, and that certainly Donald Trump views leaders like President Putin, even President Erdogan in Turkey, as strong and doing their thing, and we should not interfere in what they do, right? So it's this sort of authoritarian, autocratic bent towards letting other countries do what they think is best in their interest, and America should stay out of it while America, quote-unquote, cleans up its own house. America is the leader of the free world. The leader of the free world, which wants to bring democracy, which
wants to
aid freedom, obviously, which wants to aid, you know, morality.
Jump in any time, Nigel.
All the kinds of things that we've grown up with and we believe are the right way. America first cannot be America first if America is absent. And that, I think, is the takeaway from this.
Right. What a load of monumental bollocks by Christiane Amanpour. But to be fair to Nigel, he wasn't having it. And he jumped in.
Now, that's fine, but let's be honest. Ukraine is a democracy. It's somewhat corrupt. It is a democracy. And the elected leader of the Ukraine was overthrown in a coup by people who wanted the Ukraine to move westwards and join NATO and join the EU. And all I'm saying is that we should not be... I'm not a Putin fan, but I don't think we should be encroaching on his space. Nigel, that does not make sense.
Nigel, listen. Russia signed a deal with Britain, France, and those countries to make sure that Ukraine had territorial integrity in order for Ukraine to voluntarily give up its nuclear weapons. That was in Russia's interest. It was in the West's interest. And Russia violated that.
Anytime you want, Nigel.
For the first time since World War II, an international border.
But since
Europe,
that agreement, Nigel, there's been a coup in the Ukraine, Nigel.
Nigel. We know that.
No, but why,
we know that.
Why provoke? Why provoke? It's not necessary.
You know, you can think that.
I do.
That,
I
but
do
that's
genuinely.
The Putin
but wait,
line.
Help us understand something
because
for a second. Where is the provocation on the behalf of NATO of interceding in a sovereign Ukraine being invaded
Jesus.
By Russia?
Well, the invasion took place after the overthrow of a democratically elected leader. All I'm saying is NATO a defensive organization or is it an expansionist organization? And that does need to be rethought.
Okay, then.
You hear the way, this is how the mainstream media operates. I dedicated a whole monologue during the week. It's on YouTube to how the MSM operates. Farage is not given any time. You had a long-winded rant there from Christiane Amanpour about how the United States is the leader of the free world and how it's entitled to intervene when there are problems overseas, how it wants to bring democracy. As soon as Farage starts telling the truth about the coup in Ukraine, which saw the overthrow, of course, of Viktor Yanukovych, orchestrated by Victoria Nuland, neocon, wife of Bob Kagan, of course. As soon as Farage started getting into that, well, we better shut this one down very quickly. Then she brought in all that bollocks about deals being signed to recognise the integrity of the Ukrainian borders. But this was before. This was before. This was before Yanukovych was choked out on his arse by Yatsenyuk, Victoria Nuland and everybody else, with George Soros manipulating and pulling the strings as well. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah, so Mike Pence, you heard about Mike Pence. So Hillary Clinton, she gave us her running mate as well. The man's name is Tim Kaine. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, wait for it, another Rothschild Zionist, handpicked by AIPAC to stand alongside Hillary Clinton in the forthcoming election. When Operation Protective Edge was going on in 2014, obliterating families in Gaza, Tim Kaine said this in a statement he released to the US press. Listen to this. Word for word, the escalating conflict between Hamas and Israel is deeply tragic and inflicts serious damage on the people in Israel and Gaza. Based on a cynical political calculation, Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, appears to be intentionally disrupting any chance for progress on peace discussions between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Hamas's decision to escalate rocket attacks on Israel was designed to provoke an Israeli defensive response that would necessarily endanger Gaza residents. I fully support Israel's right to defend itself against these indiscriminate rocket attacks, but they should also do everything necessary to minimize harm to civilians and facilitate humanitarian access. The entire global community, finished Kaine, must pressure Hamas to cease rocket attacks. Once that occurs, a ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas should be enforced. Rothschild puppet Senator Tim Kaine, who this week was announced as the running mate of one Hillary Clinton. Sue tweets that Christiane Amanpour's husband is a top Zionist. Is he, Sue? I didn't know that. You must tell me who he is. Faisal says, kudos, Richie. Good example there of how the media melodrama works. Simon tweets, why no mention of Gary Johnson running for president, who took Clinton and Trump, who Clinton and Trump are afraid to debate, Governor Gary Johnson. Good stuff, Simon. We might throw out an invitation to Gary Johnson to come on the programme. That's Simon, who looks after our YouTube channel here. By the way, my producer, Claire Calvey, is settling in the west of Ireland. Is Claire and her family, and is going to be back on production duty soon enough on the programme. Great to have her back. Glad that her family are settling in well in Ireland even. Delighted to hear that. Brian tweets, weird how the MSM covers these shooting events, narrowing multi-shooters down to one despite witness accounts. Stepping on prior reports, says Brian. Wayne tweets, saying one thing with the left hand and another with the right, says Wayne. Loads of tweets. I'm not going to get through them, folks. Don't be offended by that. I can't read them all. Mark tweets, have you seen the latest shape-shifting Killery video yet? It's awesome, says Mark. I haven't, mate, but if you tweet it, I will take a look at it as well. All good. That's kind of it for this edition of Sunday View. We're right approaching the top of the hour now. Thank you very much for listening to the programme. It'll be on Podomatic if you just came in on the end of it. The podcast will be up soon and it'll be on YouTube in about 90 minutes or 2 hours. We've got a terrific week of programmes lined up for you. Richard Souder, after a few months, Jean-Anne Crowley will be interested in that, returns to the programme tomorrow. He's on for an extended interview. I've got him for nearly all the programme tomorrow to talk about what is reality. Eh? It's going to be fascinating. Max Egan joins me later on in the week as well, and much more besides on your Richie Allen show in association with DavidIke.com. Stay with FabRadioInternational.com, with AlternateCurrentRadio.com. They've got some amazing programs. A Sunday Word with Patrick Henningsen is coming up later on today, about 5 o'clock UK time. Loads of great things going on there. I'll leave you and love you. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for all the tweets. Thanks for paying attention to the programme. Remember, folks, do support it by using bank transfer details at richieallen.co.uk or my PayPal address at paypal.com. My PayPal address is richieallen@hotmail.co.uk. Do make a donation if you can. Until next time, until tomorrow at 8 p.m. BST. Bye for now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.